From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his fourth message in this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection, Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled Perfection and Preservation. The text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. What will he do? He will sanctify us wholly. See the previous verse. He will carry on the work of purification till we are perfect in every part. He will preserve our whole spirit and soul and body blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will not allow us to fall from grace, nor come under the dominion of sin. What great favors are these! Well may we adore the giver of such unspeakable gifts. Who will do this? The Lord, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, out of death and sin into eternal life in Christ Jesus. Only he can do this. Such perfection and preservation can only come from the God of all grace. Why will he do it? Because he is faithful. Faithful to his own promise, which is pledged to save the believer. Faithful to his Son, whose reward it is that his people shall be presented to him faultless. Faithful to the work which he has commenced in us by our effectual calling. It is not their own faithfulness, but the Lord's own faithfulness on which the saints rely.
Beneath the cross of Jesus,
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he concludes his fourth message in the series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with verses 4 through 11 of chapter 1. In this passage, the Lord Jesus continued to prepare the apostles for their ministry by reminding them of two essential truths. The first was the promise of the Holy Spirit to give them power for service. The second promise Christ gave to those early disciples was the assurance of his second coming. Though the work before them would be difficult and filled with opposition, the Spirit's presence would enable them to be victorious, and the prospect of the Savior's return in glory would give them joy. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the final portion of The Presence and Promise of Christ.
I haven't time to preach on the text, so let me outline it for you and you think of it. It speaks of four glorious things, a glorious promise, ye shall receive power. Now, I'm going to give you references. Those who write them down would need to write quickly. Our God has power. Let that be a thrill to our souls. So many Christians worship a tiny little God, poor God. Poor God wants to save everybody but can hardly save anybody. Poor God wants to stop the wickedness in the world but there's not much he can do about it. Poor wee God, there he is up there in heaven. And the world is running mad and there's not much he can do. My friend, let me tell you, away with such nonsense. Our God has power. Verse 7 makes that clear. He has power. Consider creation. Isaiah 48 verse 13. And you'll find he has much power. Consider redemption. In Ephesians 1 verse 19. You'll find he has mighty power. Consider the salvation of souls as in Acts chapter 9. And you'll discover he has miraculous power. It's all summed up in the words of Christ in Matthew 28, verse 18. He has all power. He has power over angels, according to Hebrews 1, verse 6. Over devils, according to Mark chapter 5, if you read verses like verse 7, 12, and 13. He has power over men, as Isaiah 40 and 15 makes clear.
Consider the past and you'll see the power of God in operation. Peer right into the future as the Bible details it, and you'll see God's power in control. And my friend, when you look at the present, with the nations rising in their godlessness, with sin and wickedness like a foul ocean spewing itself across the earth, remember, our God has power. We serve the powerful God. And He says, ye shall receive power. Now, if anybody else said it, we would laugh at it. But He says, I have all power. Ye shall receive power. The two words are different. The word for power at the end of verse 7 is authority. The word for power at the beginning of verse 8 is the power which is the word which gives us the English word dynamite. So that will give you an idea of its meaning. Dynamic power. Power to do something. Energy to move things. He says, now I have the authority over men, over devils, over angels, over heaven, over earth, over hell. I have the authority, and I am giving you divine energy to get things done. You'll notice the ye, the company to whom the promise is given, the selected people. They were the apostles whom He had chosen. They were the saved people. People whom He had redeemed by His passion and through His precious blood. You see, the Lord does not bless apostates. The Lord does not pour out the Holy Ghost on popery. I want you to know that. The charismatics tell us about charismatic cardinals and charismatic bishops and people who love Mary more and love the Mass more after they've got filled with the Holy Ghost. They have not got filled with the Holy Ghost. They've got filled with the devil, counterfeiting the Holy Ghost. God does not pour out His Spirit upon the harlot church. He doesn't do it. He doesn't pour out His Spirit upon the liberal, modernistic, Bible-denying, Christ-blaspheming church. It's not the work of the Holy Ghost. That's the work of the other spirit, the devil. If you read 2 Corinthians 11, you'll find there is another gospel and there's another Jesus and there's another spirit. That's the work of the other spirit. But the Lord Jesus takes His own selected people, those given to Him by His Father from the councils of all eternity. He takes His own saved people in whom dwells the Spirit of God, and He fills them with the Holy Ghost. And of course, there are submissive people. He says, go and wait in Jerusalem. And they did that, whatever their own feelings were. My friend, you may be saved. That means you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, no matter how poor and useless you are. But if you're not submissive to the Lord, then you'll not be filled with the Spirit. For Acts 5:32, He gives the Spirit to them that obey Him. So those are the people. You'll notice the security of the promise. The shall receive power. The stamp of Christ is upon it. In other words, if you're one of these selected, saved, submissive, and supplicating people, He says you're going to get power. If you're saved, there's power for you. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let the world rob you of it. There's power for you. Don't be satisfied with doing the work of God with anything less than the power of God. Ye shall receive power. Don't give up on waiting for God. Wait until you be endued, because you will receive power. You notice the word receive speaks of the bankruptcy of these people. There wasn't a single shred of natural ability which would enable them to do God's work. The Lord Jesus didn't say, now I'm going to take all your natural talents and I'm going to work upon them and I'm going to lift them up to new heights and onto greater planes and I'm going to use all these natural abilities. Now, no doubt He did use their natural abilities in some way. He did sanctify them for His glory, but that's not what He promised to do. In other words, He says, look, forget about what natural abilities you have or you don't have. There are too many of God's people running around with such long faces that their chins are trailing the ground. And they're saying, oh, I can't do anything. I don't have ability. My friend, God never said it's ability you need. He says it's the power of the Holy Ghost you need. That's what you need. Oh, let's Get to basics today, and let's ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with thy Spirit. Make me full surrender, no, and let those streams of living water from my inner man now flow. That's the glorious promise. Ye shall receive power. Speaks of a glorious person, the Holy Ghost. Almost a forgotten person in the Trinity. Even among God's people, so often spoken of as it. An influence. Something less than the Father or the Son. My friend, he is just as truly a divine person as God the Father or God the Son. And a very precious divine person. Let me tell you, in one sense, what the Lord Jesus was to his disciples while he was on earth, the Holy Ghost is to the people of God today. He is the vicar of Christ. Of course, the Pope says he's the vicar of Christ. But you always take anything that the Pope says with more than a grain of salt. He's not the vicar of Christ. And for any vile man to say that he's the vicar of Christ is a blasphemy. That's why, of course, the Pope at his installation commands worship. That's why he is addressed as God Almighty. These are the facets of popery that evangelical Americans very rarely ever hear. But that's why, because he says he is the vicar of Jesus Christ. He is no such thing. The Holy Ghost is the vicar of Jesus Christ. And all that the Lord Jesus was in the flesh to his disciples, the Holy Spirit is to the people of God today. Thank God for that indwelling, sanctifying, supporting, and enabling Spirit of God. Therefore, we ought to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, don't stop short. Indwelt, regenerated, thank God, that's an inestimable privilege. But oh, let's ask the Lord to pour out His Spirit upon us. He's a glorious person. Speaks of a glorious privilege. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's your privilege. So often we look upon it as a chore. Most Christians nowadays do not witness. But he says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And that amazes me. When the Lord Jesus went up into heaven and he wanted to speak to these disciples, he sent two angels. Do you not think the gospel would be better preached in Greenville if the Lord had sent a shining angel from heaven? Well, it may. Although it's interesting that when he did send angels to the city of Sodom, they weren't any more successful than the ordinary common run of preachers in getting people out of it, were they? Shows you how hard men's hearts are. But I would imagine that a shining angel from heaven could do a much better job than I could. And yet the Lord says, I'm not sending angels to be my witnesses. I'm sending you. You're my witnesses. What a privilege. What a responsibility. The power of the Holy Ghost is not what your modern Pentecostalism would lead you to believe, something just to make Christians feel good. It's not just a subjective experience to give them an elated state of mind. It's not just the Christian alternative to a drug trip. The power of the Holy Ghost is given to enable us to witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's for. Glorious privilege. Then here's a glorious program. Start at Jerusalem. Then all Judea. Then Samaria. Aye, Samaria. A place where the Jews would never even want to walk through. Even Samaria. And the uttermost parts of the earth. Did you see what the Lord is doing here? It's like throwing a stone into a very still pond. Why, the little hole where it enters into the water is so small. But then the ripples start. And they get greater and greater and greater until they reach out to the very perimeter of the pond. The Lord Jesus said, that's your program. Never let us become a small, introverted, self-conscious, self-opinionated, self-satisfied church.
The world is cursed by such churches. Never let us imagine that this here is just a little haven for nice fellowship. I think of a very big church in London. I think of a place where everybody had to be dressed to kill. There's nothing wrong with being well dressed and coming to the Lord's house on the Sabbath day. If you can be, come that way. But if you can't be, come that way too. And I think of the time when a poor man who had just hauled himself off the parapet of one of the bridges crossing the Thames went to that church because he heard the chiming of its bell. He was just about to commit suicide. He said, I'll go and see if there's a God who has a message for me. And there a poor tramp with his clothes falling off him and the stench of filth about him and the smell of booze reeking from his breath staggered into the hallway only to be met with a very kindly arm placed about his shoulder saying, friend, would you not go to another church because this is rather an elite. It's a place where people are very careful. They're very nice. The nicest bunch of hypocrites that were ever on their way to hell. I'm glad that there was another preacher in that vicinity that night who put off, because over there, us Protestant preachers will wear the clerical collar. Never let anybody tell you the popes of Rome were the first to come up with that. It was always the mark. In fact, it was just the way of dress in Victorian England. The preachers never changed. We're slow to change. But he put off his clerical collar. And he put off his nice suit of clothes. And he put on the most ragged, dirty clothes that he could find. And he went out and he lived among the slums. And he worked among the slums. And he made his way that Sunday night along the embankment. And he came across the man the second time about to go into the river. He hauled him down. He was cursed roundly for it. But in the fog of London, he pleaded with that soul to come. And though he went away with his ears tingling with the swearing of the man, yet when he preached that night, he saw a grown man with tears running down his face. He didn't recognize him, for in a London fog, you couldn't see your finger that far in front of you. He saw a grown man come up the aisle and come to Christ. The very man that had been turned away from the nice church. I mentioned that great Baptist preacher back home a moment or two ago. I love him. And though I disagree with some of his notions, I love him in the Lord. And I never forget his testimony. From the age of 16 through to his middle 20s, he was a total alcoholic. Not just an alcoholic, but a wine victim. A tramp round the streets and roads of Northern Ireland. Got into a gang of crooks and gangsters. He was the brains of the outfit, setting up robberies and cetera right throughout the country. All to go and booze. One day he got a man who came in the street and timidly gave him a gospel invitation to a campaign in the Baptist church in the little town of Newton Arms. And he went along. And he says, some of the people, of course, must have been scared of me, for he was a wild-looking boy. And everybody knew him. Cut a long story short, he walked out of the meeting, but he never could forget the message. And in the very act of planning the most daring robbery of their career, standing out there in the open field, God smote him with conviction. He got gloriously saved, and he ran down the road, hopping like a hare, and stopping everybody he saw and say, I've got saved! Thought he was mad. Went back to the den with the boys with their guns and all the rest of it. And he got the biggest one among them, a Roman Catholic. He said, look, you'll all have to clear out of this house. Get out, I'm sealed. There's no more of this. He went back to the Baptist church. There was a beautiful young girl there. She became a missionary in Brazil, in the very mission that Victor and Audrey Maxwell were with. She was finely dressed. And this tramp came in and sat in the seat. She moved right up close beside him. When the Bible reading came, she opened her Bible and she says, look on with me. God had saved the tramp. But I want to tell you, A girl with a vision and a girl who didn't care for a stain in her Sunday best to save a soul was instrumental in keeping him in that church to become the greatest Baptist preacher in the United Kingdom, or maybe in the world. Never let us become an introverted, self-opinionated, self-satisfied little church. Let us remember we have our Jerusalem. We have our families. We have our loved ones. We have our neighbors. But there is Judea around about us. There is Samaria beyond that. And it's my vision of this church that it will be an outgoing church, an outreaching church, a soul-saving church. It is my vision of this church that we will have young men and young women who will take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the United States and the uttermost parts of the earth. This is our program. Now, we'll never fulfill it perfectly, but by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost, fulfill it we will. May God fill us with His Spirit. May God give us the vision of the program and the power of the Holy Ghost to carry it through.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.